Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease, and today I'm with Brian Williams, and we are going to be talking about an interesting subject, and that is...
backpacks.
Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. My name is Casey Cease and I'll be your host today because Dr. Wilson is out of town traveling. Today I've got with me Pastor Williams, the Rock Church Sierras, and we're going to discuss a little bit of the events that took place this weekend at his church and as well as my church. Both of us being branch works of the Rock Church Elk Grove, we kind of set something up on the same day, patterned the same thing, and both had tremendous success. And so we're going to talk about what went really well, the outcomes, and we're probably going to talk about a couple things that we'd change to enhance it and make it a little bit more efficient. And so, Brother Williams, give us a little insight into what you did up there this past weekend.
Okay, so about a month ago, Brother Cease here and myself got together and we were talking about this opportunity to reach our communities through a backpack giveaway. So this is obviously, this is something he's done before, but I didn't know anything about it. But what I wanted to do was copy every single thing that he did because I didn't know anything about it. Sometimes people don't like copying. They feel like, you know, that's not the way. But in this case, if you got a good strategy, if you got a good system, if you got something that you feel like is going to work, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Do what works. So we kicked off this backpack giveaway. And you remember when we first started, I used the same ad that he used. I used the same form that he used. I used this. The only thing I changed was I changed the part that said Turlock to Shingle Springs, and that everything else is the same. Yeah. And so we just ran at it, and I would even call him, what are you doing here? And my goal was to do the exact same thing that he did. Now, as we went, I saw there was different areas and ways that I could evolve mine and tailor it to our area. I mean, we live in two different cities. So you got Turlock is one area. Shingle Springs is a very different area. And so as things started to emerge, and I started having to make adjustments. Well, you know, yesterday we had the event, and there's a lot of things that we'll get into talking about, but we had a bigger success than I anticipated. We had, there was over 200 people that were there. Now, our church is small. We realistically probably run under 30 people. We, you know, it's not been very... long that we've been there, but we're a growing church, and so we're looking for opportunities to connect to our community. This was a fantastic thing, and over 200 people that were there. We'll get into the specifics, but that's basically what happens. It was a really good thing.
Yeah, so on the front end, one of the things that we did, I know a lot of times when people put together a backpack drive, they try to assess or conjure up maybe a number of how many people they think they're going to come, and then it ends up being pretty much a first-come, first-served basis on the backpacks. That's what I did the first year or two I did it in when I pastored in Pennsylvania. But one of the things that we adjusted this time was we actually had a pre-registration. And so we had a QR code that went to a landing page, and in that landing page we were able to capture everybody's information, the adult's name, how many children they had, and what grade the children were in. I don't know if you did it this way at yours, but we had different size backpacks for preschool through fifth grade, and then different size backpacks for sixth grade through 12th grade. And the supplies that we put in there were a little bit differently because obviously I didn't think someone in high school would appreciate crayons and coloring pencils right in their backpack. And so we tailored some of the stuff in there. And I know a couple people had mentioned stuff to me, and I think you said somebody even mentioned it to you, like, hey, you guys are starting too far out there.
Yeah.
But I feel like next year we're probably going to start even further out
right
there.
Right, yeah.
Because the real thing is all about getting those numbers, getting those email addresses, and following up. And so we followed up, I believe, as soon as they signed up, we grouped our people into a grouping of 150 people. And so we ended up having group A was 150, group B was 150, group C was 200, group D was 200. And we had them show up on the grounds at different times, primarily because our sanctuary only seats 200, and we had 730 sign up. And so we shifted it from a Sunday event for us to a Saturday event, but it gave us the opportunity to know how many backpacks to buy. And it really helped us in planning, and mm-hmm. it also helped us in determining how we wanted people to come into the building, and gave us the opportunity to set up the flow of traffic. Because for us, I felt like if we didn't set that up right, people could come and get a backpack, but still have a bad experience.
Right.
I didn't have anywhere to park.
Yeah.
They rushed us through and all this stuff. And so I really feel like the pre-registration worked well for us. Did it work well for you as well?
Yeah. So this is where our there was a divergence in our philosophies about halfway through. In your experience, when you started, you got an immediate response, I feel like. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not get that. And I think part of it was maybe my messaging was a little off. Maybe I wasn't. I was doing the same stuff you were doing. We were like, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to put it in a Facebook group. So I posted in the Facebook groups. I was doing all, and I wasn't really getting the response that I thought. So I adjusted my strategy to be more of like a service/backpack giveaway.
Yes.
Right. So yours was more like, you know, Saturday you had an event, Sunday you had a service, that kind of thing. I kind of compiled it all to one because I wasn't seeing the type of result that he was seeing. Now, maybe I was doing some things wrong, you know. I mean, he had done it two or three times.
Yeah. Well, I think the adjustment's important because we had to adjust the opposite way.
Okay.
So we started it and we planned, hey, we're going to have two services on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so we really started with the thought process of having two services on Sunday.
Right.
And since we can fit 200 people or 220 in the sanctuary, mm-hmm. our normal attendance is 70.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, I've got space for 150 people.
Right.
We'll run two services.
Yeah.
Have 150 in both of them, and we'll be good.
Yeah.
And then once I looked and we had 500 signups, I'm like, well, we're going to have to run three services or move this to Saturday. And so I think you touch on an important thing when you're trying to reach the community. And I think the other good thing about pre-registration is it gives you the opportunity to make those adjustments.
Right.
So had you not started a month or two early,
yeah,
you wouldn't have known to make the adjustments.
Right.
And the same thing in our end, we would have still had a Sunday service and then had way too many people show up. And I mean, quite frankly, the place where we're at, we wouldn't have had enough parking for them.
Right.
So that would have been problematic. So I think that's key when you're talking about this type of event. I mean, you can do it however you want. We're just talking about what worked for us. And I really feel like the pre-registration was
okay,
huge.
So the pre-registration, I want to talk about that if I can. A lot of times that when we do events, and different event, church events, a lot of, it's like, hey, everybody, let's come. Everybody get there. And then people come, and then we work really hard to try to get them to sign up for something, like a Bible study or all those types of things. And so there's a lot of pressure on you to try to get information when really it's too late. It's too chaotic to try to do that. The pre-registration thing, you know, just to let you know, I'm not really in the business of giving backpacks out to people. There's a greater cause here.
For sure.
There's something I'm trying to do, okay? And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to preach the gospel to these people.
Yes.
But I have to do it in a way that gets them comfortable and introduces them to my church. The best way for me, now, I'm open to anything. Whatever there is, I'll try it. But when I got their phone numbers, I got a gold mine because now I can invite them to future events. I can call them and because for me the next step, if you're looking at it like a funnel, and I don't want to get into like the business strategy of all this, but the next step for me is Sunday school.
Yes,
I want kids to come to Sunday school. So now that I have their phone number, and now that they trust me enough to give them a backpack, and now that their parents have been on site and they see what we're doing and they love what they feel, the next step is to say, we would like to sign you up for Sunday school.
Yeah.
And that was originally the thinking behind all of this was I had a Sunday school teacher come to me and say, you know, are we going to have any Sunday school kids today? Because we didn't have any kids to teach. It was my kids, my two children, and that was it. And I thought, we need to do something to get people. Well, we started this drive in July 1st. By about the third week of July, our Sunday school rooms were full of people who had signed up, and we hadn't even had the event yet.
Yes.
So this was a huge thing in getting their phone numbers and contacting them, inviting to church. It's a very key part of this entire thing is pre-registration.
Now, that didn't take the work out of it.
Right, for sure.
I know in addition to the Instagram, Facebook post that we did, the other thing that we did was we obviously had like postcards. And in addition to knocking doors and handing some of those out in apartment complexes, we also went to a farmer's market downtown, set up a booth, mm-hmm. and we handed out a good amount at the farmer's market. Now, it was
now,
cool for
I
us.
Now, I wish I'd have known about that right there. He held out on that one.
What we ended up doing was one of the guys at the church consistently went around, and he was at the front gate where you enter. And as people were coming, he'd ask them, hey, how did you hear about us?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people that said, I saw it online.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that said, got one in my apartment complex.
Right.
There were a good amount that said, oh, I got a flyer down at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And then there were also some that said, my friend or family member took a picture of the flyer they received.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't even the person that received the flyer had a kid. They got the flyer, thought, oh, my sister could really use this, and took a picture of it and sent it over to them. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just a set up an Instagram post and watch it happen. There's a lot of work on the back end of it. And I feel like sometimes people that think starting too soon or too early isn't effective is because there's not a lot of follow-up with what's going on.
That is the key. To me, step one, get the registration. Step two, you've got to follow up with everybody. And to make another thing that we didn't do the farmer's market, but what we did do is door knocking. Now, door knocking is it's like one of those things when you talk about it, you know that we should do it, but nobody likes to do it because nobody likes knocking on someone's door. We all think, what would I think if somebody would knock on my door on Sunday morning? How would I receive it? And there's all these things about Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. Yeah. So you got to get over that because it does work.
Okay. Correct.
And so we did door knocking. But for me, if you have hesitations about door knocking, which I do not like knocking on people's doors. It's me. What I have found, though, is that I am not my target audience. A lot of the people that I'm trying to reach, you might wake them up on Saturday morning. But are they going to be bothered? Probably not to the degree that you think, because we are church people. We've been around, you know, we're sick of people selling to us and all those things. But one thing that kind of knocks the edge off is, in this particular case, I'm not trying to convert you to my church.
That's the key.
I'm trying to give you something of value.
Yeah.
And this is this backpack giveaway, and it took the edge off. And there were people there that were there yesterday, and we asked the same question. How did you hear about it? And they're like, some really nice guy knocked on my door and invited me to come, and I thought I should come. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You knocked on a door, you got an invitation, and they come to church. It just comes down to execution. It comes down to following up. It comes back to going back to, like, we don't be aggressive in this approach. We just get up and do it, and it worked.
Well, that's one of the things that we had talked about at the church in Turlock. It's, hey, I understand there's aversions to, you know, you feel weird handing someone something and inviting them to church and all of those things. But here you're giving them something.
Right.
And so I think, like you said, it took a lot of the edge off, not only from the individuals on the other side of the door, but the individuals handing it. Because now it's not like, oh, I've got to try to put on a good smile and make sure I invite them just the right way and say the right things. Instead, you're saying, hey, we're having a backpack giveaway.
Yeah.
If you or anybody you know needs a backpack, we'd love to give you one.
Yeah.
Confrontation there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of times we're going to the door trying to hit a grand slam, thinking, man, we could get them, get back. There's a creek out back. We can get you baptized right now. We're swinging for the fences when really all you want to do is get on first base. Get there, give them the thing, and we'll worry about step two later. And that was the key in this case. There were many people that showed up because of that, and it was a key part of the strategy. We need to do market farmers market next year, though.
Sure. Yeah, I know a lot of people tend to have aversions at giving some things out because, well, you'll attract a certain crowd, or these are the people you're going to get. And even the standpoint from, well, we're in the gospel business.
Yeah.
And to me, I understand what they're trying to say, but to me, I really look at it like this. When I was in Silence Grove, God told me back then when I pastored there, if you reach the people nobody's going after, I'll give you the people everybody wants. And that's been true in Silence Grove, and it's been true in Turlock. The church in Turlock, I think the first 35 people that were baptized or got the Holy Ghost either came out of addiction, they came out of prison, or they were gang affiliated. And we started filling up the building, and I'm like, my goodness, we have no money and we're about to max the thing out.
Well,
then God sent some key families that were really, I mean, they're still there, but they were really able to help us go to the next level building-wise and everything else. And the second thing is, when I look through the Gospels, what I see is I see a Messiah who met their immediate need
first,
and after they met the immediate need, he brought them into more spirit. He brought them to spiritual truth.
That's right. Yeah.
And so the immediate need, I don't want to, you know, get into psychology or anything, but if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you can't meet the immediate, it's hard for them to trust you with anything beyond that.
Right.
And when we were in Sealance Grove, one of the things that really made me feel good in Sealance Grove was I remember walking out the front door and seeing a lady sit on the sidewalk, and she's crying. And so I walk up to the lady, and I ask her, is everything all right? In my mind, I'm thinking, somebody said something dumb.
Yeah.
Somebody did something stupid. I apologize to everybody that I pastored in Sealance Grove. I thought someone said something out of line, and this lady was just crying because she was hurt. And so I went down and I asked her, are you okay? Is everything all right? And she said, no, everything is wonderful. She said, last week I was talking to my husband and we were trying to determine whether or not we buy our kids clothes that fit them this year for school or a backpack and school supplies. And she said, when I heard on the radio, we got our stuff in Sealance Grove on the radio. They said, when we heard on the radio that someone was doing this in Sealance Grove, we knew our kids could go to school with both. And to me, that meant a lot. Like, imagine being a parent and not knowing whether you should buy a backpack or clothes.
Right.
And that lady, when we left Sealance Grove, was still attending the church in Sealance Grove. And it was because we met an immediate need that branched out into something bigger.
Right.
And salvation came from that. And so it was, it's not one or the other. It's both and, right?
Yeah.
And so we meet the immediate need, and it really becomes the vehicle to be able to preach the gospel to them.
Exactly right. And I saw very much the same type of thing. I mean, we had... I was surprised at the amount of people who started coming to church before the event even took place. You know, we hadn't even met that need yet, you know. And I found, too, that if somebody needs a backpack, they also need other things.
Yeah.
And that demographic of people that are like, yes, I would love to come because they got backpacks, many times those people are also receptive to the gospel. There were apartment complexes that we knocked on that were a little too uppity for our demographic, you know? We'd knock on their door and they'd say, yeah, the people around here, we've got everything you need, we need, but the people over there, they're the ones you need, right?
Gotcha.
And that kind of told us the story. And we went over there and we offered the backpacks. And there was a lot of alignment between those two types of people that came. So it was good.
So end result. So you had the backpack giveaway. 130-some showed up, got backpacks. What else happened?
Okay, so we have a group of people that have been coming to church. And we're trying to establish these people in the faith. We're trying to make disciples out of these people. And we're trying to help them become and see the highest version of themselves. And many times in churches, people come to church and that's really all they do. And we need to find areas for them to get plugged in and to do things. And not this, this event was as much about the local church,
yes,
as it was about the people that were coming. Because all of a sudden, there became interest in this from a community perspective. People started visiting. Now, I don't know how you guys do it at home, but let me just tell you what I did, because we're a growing church and we got to get new people established in the faith. We have these people coming in. They're attending a few weeks. Well, this is an opportunity to get them involved.
Yes.
This is very low impact and low requirement. But let me tell you, these people who are new to the church, they may not look like what you might think they should look like, or they may not be dressed the part, but they are amazing about evangelizing the city. So I got these lanyards made up that said staff, event staff, and anybody of those people, they got one, okay? Yes. And they're walking around, and they're just talking to people and all those things. And now, there was one particular lady at the end of the event, she goes to hand her lanyard in, and she goes, "Can I keep this? Because I feel like I belong here."
Yeah.
Okay. And so that was a huge component of this. It didn't just energize the community and coming in. It galvanized the local church, and people are really locked in.
Absolutely.
And so that was a big thing. So
yeah, we kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So we had our event Saturday, and then we had a follow-up service on Sunday, and there were two or three teenagers in there that have been coming for a couple months mm-hmm. to the church. And so we're in service Sunday, and some of us still have the event staff badge on because we still have the bounce houses. We're serving food again afterwards and all of that stuff. And these teenagers were like, "Hey, can I get my badge back?" Like, they wanted that badge back on them on Sunday, the same one they had on Saturday, because they were so proud and happy to be part of something that the church was doing.
Yeah.
And the other thing was it energized the people, right?
Yeah.
I feel like church is always there. It's a bunch of people coming together, so there's always going to be issues.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where once an event takes off, and you see, for lack of better terms, new babies coming through the door.
Yeah.
People don't worry about the problems as much because there's other things they have to worry
about.
Exactly, so this family's not fighting with this family, or this isn't happening, because now it's all focused on the babies.
That's right.
And so it really energized the people. I think another thing that was cool on our side was, since it was two different days, we had over 400 show up on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we had 122, 123 in attendance. And so we had already seen people that came Saturday come back a second time the second day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw immediate fruit of someone coming the next day. We also, in that time frame, had 29 or 30 people sign up for Bible studies. And when I say people, that's family. So 30 different families signing up for Bible studies. And then we had two people, actually an adult and a child, get the Holy Ghost Sunday morning in service.
Okay, that's amazing. Now, I have a little bit different of a story there. It's similar, though. We had a couple that got signed up from the backpack thing several weeks ago, and they started coming to church before the event. And then we got a Bible study with them. And in our circle, we've been working this thing about small groups. And we started a small group up in the Placerville area. And we had a Bible study last week. And we've been kind of going through that thing. And this week, we finally do the event. So on the day of the event, there was about 204 people that were at the event total. And then we had, I think it was 134 first-time guests, and then we baptized two people in Jesus' name that are the direct result of that particular event. And so these are people that we walked through them. We established a Bible study with them. We are on track to keep moving forward and discipling them. And along with this event where we were giving things away, we have been having opportunities to disciple people, and it's been a great thing.
And then you also had some Bible studies come out of the event.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. So this is my thing that I do. I learned this from somebody, and it's been effective for me. And there were people at the event yesterday. There's so many people, you can't get around to everybody. You want to be able to talk to everybody as the pastor and be able to introduce yourself of that. And there is that impact when you say, I'm the pastor here, we'd love to have you come back. And what I do is I take out my phone and I say, I ask them their name, and this is just me. I'm not very good at names, but I am good at faces.
Yes.
And so I take a picture with them. Do you mind if I take a picture? And I take a photo with them.
That's good.
And then I say, what's your phone number? And I take their phone number and I send them that photo right then. Okay. And
so you didn't tell me that.
Okay. Yeah. So I sent them that photo right then. So now there's a log in their phone of me and them, picture of them. I'll remember them and they will remember me. And then I say, hey, I do Bible studies.
Yeah.
Would you like to get together for a Bible study? And they're like, yes. And I text that in the thing. Hey, this is Pastor Williams. I can't wait to get together for Bible study. I will reconnect with you soon. And then I click send. And then they send back, okay, great, let's do that. I did that with 10 people yesterday. I wish I could have done it with everybody. I ran out of time, you know, but I did that with 10 people, and those are set up. We're ready to go to follow up for more Bibles.
So good. And then I think as we run out of time here, one thing that I don't want to miss in closing is part of what made our event successful. So, you know, you have a smaller church, and so you have smaller resources, both financial and human.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were sitting here looking at how we were going to staff everything, we were pretty tight.
Yeah.
And we really wanted this section or a group of people that we labeled as guest comfort.
Yeah.
And their whole purpose was to go around, make connections with people, get Bible studies, and just have a good time talking to people. Hey, do you need something? For us, if all we had at the event was just our church people, we would not have been able to have a guest comfort staff because of the size of our church.
Yeah.
Now, I say we run 70, but if you take kids out of the picture, that puts you at about 30, 35 adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so from hot dogs to registration to handing out backpacks to parking lot attendance because it was an eight-hour event for us, and then security, it doesn't leave very much room for that. But what helped us tremendously was the addition of Hope Corps. And so we're thankful for the local Hope Corps chapter that sent, I believe we had about 15 people that came down to Turlock that were Hope Corps. And we were able to staff some of those positions from registration. I believe there's some in registration. There were some signing people up to come back the next day. And then there were some handing out backpacks. And so since we were serving food. And so since we were able to do that with some Hope Corps folks, it really freed up more of our people at the church to be able to make the connections and talk to people there. And so I'm thankful for Hope Corps and them helping us. And I believe today, if I'm not mistaken, is the last day to sign up for Hope Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd encourage you, if you're thinking about Hope Corps, go ahead. If you're a pastor, Hope Corps, first and foremost, does stuff overseas. They go on their ITW, helps missionaries. But in this scenario, Hope Corps was very instrumental in helping the local church, the local pastor here in the community.
Yeah, that's right. The same thing for me. We had 18 Hope Corps alumni that came. And I think the reason why that was really good was at the early stage of our church right now, we're trying to establish legitimacy in the community, okay? So there's a lot of churches out there trying to invite people. When they show up at an event and there's this global organization that is alongside helping your event, it gives a kind of air of legitimacy to your church.
People.
We can trust these people. And I made mention of it. I got up and said, hey, we're so glad to have Hope Corps here. This is a global organization that is helping. They got around and talked to these kids because they were familiar with doing this. They, you know, in their missions trips that they went to, they were familiar with doing that. They engaged people on a one-on-one level. They helped with food. And then the tough work, the hard work of getting in, moving stuff around, because you got to be flexible at these events. This needs to be moved over here. This needs to be moved over here. And just wrestling, you know, stuff up and out of a box truck and that kind of stuff. It was a lot of gritty work, and they got it done, and it was a good thing.
So if you're thinking about events or things to do to draw people, backpack giveaway, certainly a great tool to use, a great vehicle to push. It is work, We both recommend pre-registration. That requires, I think we sent 3 follow-up emails, 2 phone calls, and a text.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is, with the pre-registration, is the follow-ups don't just stop there. We've got newsletters we're creating that are going to get sent out on a monthly basis to these individuals to keep them tied to the church, let them know about events that are coming up, and all that stuff to get them really plugged into the church.
Very good. That's great. There was something else I was going to tell you about that. I was going to bring it up, and I forgot it. The backpacks themselves, the cost of them.
Oh.
So people are concerned about cost, right?
Yes.
So Brother C's got hooked up with this website that does everything for you. We have no affiliation with the website. We are not going to make any money on this advertisement, but there is a place called Bags and Bulk or something like
Bags
that.
Bagsandbulk.com.
And you get them, you can get them for like $5 or $6 each or something.
If they're filled.
And they're filled. They come already filled.
We didn't get the filled ones. We went cheap there.
Okay.
We bought them at like $2.80. And we went to Walmart and we were able to buy boxes of crayons for 20 cents a piece at Walmart. But if you don't have the resources to put them together,
well, I didn't have the resources to put them together. I wish I had known.
Yeah, buy them already stuffed, but Bags in Bulk, it's cheap.
Yeah, the point is you can do that cheap, and then you talk to people. I went to businesses. I went to people that I knew, and I broke it down like this. Hey, we have X amount of people that are signed up. This is how much of these cost. Would you be willing to donate to that? When you're doing something like that, there's a lot of people in the community that want to be involved with that. And so I did not show any hesitation about that type of thing. We're trying to do good things in this community. You'd be surprised the amount of people out there that want to contribute to that.
We've got one company gave us $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
One gave us $500.
Mm-hmm.
One gave us $300. Foster Farms donated all the hot dogs for the event.
Wow.
And then Crystal, the milk company, donated a whole bunch of milk, chocolate milk, and orange juice to the event.
Man.
And what we're planning on doing, so it's not only the follow-up, here's a key for next year, it's not only the follow-up with the people that attend it, but the follow-up with the businesses that gave.
Yeah.
Because if you can show them pictures and tell them, hey, look, we blessed, we gave, we were able to help 600 kids.
Mm-hmm.
This year and next year, we're shooting for 1,200. We'd love to partner with you again.
Yeah, that's right.
I guarantee that they'll help
100%.
out.
100%. That's good.
Thanks for joining us this week on All Things Apostolic. Tune in next week with Dr. Wilson. God bless.